daily for Not Monday.
We crossed that one off and we're moving right along. And as I tell people, sure, you know, we're working toward a weekend, and this is kind of crazy, but today's part of my weekend, sort of, because I'm off today and tomorrow for my job, and it's not the weekend. So I don't know how, it's weird. Time shifting and dogs and cats. Whatever. Hi, everyone. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, welcoming you to the 17th of August. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that knows exactly how things need to be, that there's podcaster Jim Siegfried.
This wouldn't have happened if you'd acted like you were part of a team.
Okay, fine. I go my own way. I get results. Hi. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
There's always something cleverer than yourself.
Fair enough. Prove that to trivia. What happened on this fine day, sir?
In 1833, the first steamship to cross the Atlantic entirely under its own power, the Canadian ship SS Royal William, embarked from Nova Scotia en route to the Isle of Wight.
1877, Asaph Hall discovers the moon Phobos in orbit around Mars. He also thought he saw leather goddesses.
1891, the automobile electric self-starter is patented.
1896, Bridget Driscoll of Croydon, Surrey, becomes the first pedestrian killed by a motor vehicle in Britain. While on a terrace in the grounds of the Crystal Palace, London, she was knocked down by a car traveling at 4 miles an hour and dies minutes later of head injuries.
1908, Phantasmagory, the first fully animated film in history, is exhibited for the first time ever at the Théâtre des Gymnases.
1911, an Italian production of Dante's Inferno becomes the first feature film with a runtime of more than an hour, released in the United States.
Wow. 1958, the first lunar probe in history, the U.S. space probe Pioneer Zero, fails when its Thor Able booster rocket explodes on the launch pad 77 seconds before launch.
1962, at 8:35 GMT, NASA launches the Telstar 1 communication satellite built by AT&T Bell Laboratories from Cape Canaveral. It's the first orbiting international communication satellite and marks the beginning of a new age of transatlantic communication in which telephone and television signals can be transmitted from Europe to America and back.
Also a song commemorating the launch of the Telstar 1, the first satellite capable of relaying transatlantic video signals, Telstar, is released by the English surf rock group The Tornadoes. It will go up on the top sales chart for 3 weeks in November.
Hey, we need a remix of that, y'all. 1966, NASA launches the Pioneer 7 space probe into solar orbit.
1968, Dr. N. Wang is granted a patent for a calculating apparatus for using logarithms for mathematical calculation. The component will later become fundamental to computer technology.
1970, the Russian space probe Venera 7 is launched on a mission to Venus. It'll become the first spacecraft to successfully transmit data from the surface of another planet.
1973, five people are terrorized after a woman kills herself in their van. They travel to the nearest town only to find a crazed man wielding a chainsaw. Five kids fall prey to a cannibalistic family.
1978, the final crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by balloon is completed.
1982, the world's first compact disc, or CD, is manufactured by Royal Philips Electronics at the Polygram Recording Company's factory in Langenhagen, just outside of Hanover, Germany. Polygram is a wholly owned subsidiary of Philips, and the first CD to be manufactured at the plant was The Visitors by ABBA.
That makes sense. 1986, Pixar Animation Studios releases its first film, Luxo Jr., directed by John Lasseter, the title character of the small desk lamp, you know from the company's logo.
1990, Warner Brothers Pictures releases the film My Blue Heaven to theaters in the USA. In it, the game The Goonies 2 is played on an NES with the sounds from Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man issuing from it.
And that's the only thing anybody remembers about that. Even though it's kind of technically a sequel to Goodfellas. 2000, in the case of Universal City Studios Incorporated versus Ramirez, the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York upholds the constitutionality of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the first real test of the law.
2007, at Gen Con, WotC announces the release of the Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition tabletop role-playing game in 2008. It will be the first full new edition in 8 years. The Player's Handbook will be released in May, the Monster Manual will be released in June, and the Dungeon Master's Guide will be released in July.
Thacko or die! Same day, same year, Warner Brothers releases the sci-fi film The Invasion, directed by Oliver Hirschbiegel, starring Nicole Kidman, Daniel Craig, and Jeremy Northam.
And in 2154, 15 Na'vi clans made up of 2,000 people are united, just buzzing around saying, hey, hey, hey!
Birthdays?
Zefram Cochrane is -9. He's the inventor of the warp drive.
Taysa Farmiga is 27 from American Horror Story, Murder House, Bling Ring, Mindscape.
Austin Butler is 30 from Zoe 101. Switch to Birth, Will in the Shannara Chronicles.
Helen McCroy is 53. Narcissa Malfoy in Harry Potter. Hugo, Skyfall in Peaky Blinders.
David Conrad is 54 from The Ghost Whisperer, Wedding Crashers, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
John Marshall Jones is 59 from Casualties of War, White Men Can't Jump, Sergeant Bilko.
I love that movie. Sean Penn is 61 from Taps, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Colors, and Being John Malkovich.
Robert De Niro is 78 from Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Midnight Run, Untouchables, and Nothing Else.
That's right. We won't mention Rocky and Bullwinkle. Where is Dana Longer with us in 1786? Davy Crockett, American soldier and politician.
And haberdasherer. 1918, Evelyn Anker's The Wolfman, Invisible Man's Revenge.
1920, Maureen O'Hara from the 1939 Hunchback of Notre Dame, Miracle on 34th Street, and The Quiet Man.
1930, Harve Bennett, a screenwriter for Star Trek, $6 Million Man, Bionic Woman, brought us a lot of our geeky goodness from the 70s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. 1933, Glenn Corbett, Zefram Cochrane in Star Trek, the original series, and Lincoln on Route 66.
1951, Richard Hunt, a Muppeteer who performed Scooter, Statler, Janice Beaker, Sweetums, so much of your childhood.
And 1968, Andrew Koenig. He was Boner on Growing Pains, Joker in Batman Dead End, and of course is the son of Walter Koenig.
Batman Dead End is so good.
Oh, so good. On CBS, a rerun of NCIS, New Love Island, and a rerun of FBI Most Wanted.
ABC has 6 episodes of Home Economics. I'm like, burn this thing.
I think that show's good.
Okay.
I don't know that if I've seen it, but the premise, maybe I did. I don't know.
You got 6
NBC
episodes.
NBC has the quarterfinals 2 of A New America's Got Talent, quarterfinals 4 of the Capital One College Bowl.
Fox, Puppet Masters on a new Lego Masters. Then 2 married adventurers are determined to embark on the ultimate adventure in the hopes of reigniting the spark that keeps their romance aflame. A widower awakes from a 35-year slumber to choose if he can consciously face his pain on a new fantasy island.
Oh, man, I want an Andre Toulon minifig. That'd be dope. CW has Courtney, who's still looking out for evil in Blue Valley, grows suspicious after an unanticipated visitor arrives at the Dugan house. Barbara and Pat become worried after a visit from a mysterious antique collector, and Cindy puts her plan into motion on a new Stargirl and Superman and Lois.
Freeform, distrust, and outer grows as Tally and Abigail pressure those in power for changes. Raelle gains a deeper understanding of the mycelium and its purpose for her on a new motherland, Fort Salem.
So good. That show is so good. AMC has Enemy of the State.
FX, The Martian.
FXX Simpsons Marathon, Who Shot Mr. Burns, Part 1 and Part 2, and Radioactive Man.
FXM X-Men, Days of Future Past.
Paramount Network has Now You See Me.
Sci-Fi Channel has Death Wish, but that's the new one.
TBS, The Wagon Train meets a holy prophet who is leading a group out west. Benny tries to make a connection with his estranged daughter on a new Miracle Workers.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. Following her mother's divorce, a daughter brings home a new friend and her life seems to finally be on track until her other friend tries to warn her about the girl's dark past, which leads her to realize how dangerous she really is. Alex Steele and Sarah Fisher star in Friends Who Kill.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Sneaky Chad is all up some other woman's DMs, some lonely lass from the Mitten State, and Abby, completely unaware, is convinced Chad is a stand-up guy. To be fair, Chad is conflicted about his deception. If Chad thinks Abby won't find out, he's in for a rude awakening. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
But of course we do. Happy birthday, Kevy! Hey, poker was a blast this past weekend. Thanks for hosting. Karaoke's coming up on the 28th. Squee, I heard my name. Thanks to everyone who played Jackbox last night. I'm so glad Val Kilmer got his voice back. Great show. Love you guys. I think Chabby might be on. Not sure, though. With warm regards, that is from Mark. Well, Mark, you should be sure since you wrote it this week.
Oh, hey, wait a second.
Don't worry, he's not going to win this time. But you could just drop us a note and tell us where you think Chad and Abby are or anything else you'd like to tell us in your crazy, crazy world. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail, a text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
Oh, maybe we can get you to host Jeopardy then.
I'm Tony Southcott.
I'm Albert Byrd.
Hi.
Tell me something fun, Tony.
Life isn't fun.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We started getting like the real nitty gritty of like what being a critic's about. In-depth reviews that aren't loaded with spoilers.
Watch this movie. No. This movie's good.
There's no anger there. There's no frustration.
As long as I'm not shoveling feces directly into my mouth, I'm fine.
And things allegedly got weirder.
Woo-hoo! The Human Echoes Podcast!
HumanEchoes.com. This is Aaron Schick. You listen to the Dig Radio Daily.
He went on, like, for a while, just saying what he would do to you if you didn't. But I decided to keep things on a positive note, because I'm that kind of guy.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Still buy the hell out of them, though. What's going to be on the shelves, sir?
Yeah, you never want to ask the Iron Sheik how he would humble you. On TV, we've got NCIS, the 18th season.
A Discovery of Witches, season 2.
Classic TV, we've got Colonel Bleep, the complete surviving series, volumes 1 and 2.
If you've never seen that, I get that. From your feel old category, Riverdance, the 25th anniversary show.
Wow, if you want to feel even older, we've got Labyrinth, the 35th anniversary edition.
Oh my God, that movie could be president. In our regular movies department, we have The Maid.
Notorious Nick.
Rogue Hostage.
Does that mean that they're escaping? What is, I don't even.
That or I spelled it wrong and it's Rouge Hostage and they're doing makeup on people.
Well, sure. I mean, if you're going to shoot a, hostage video, you want to have at least some foundation, some powder, something. Come on. We've also got The Truffle Hunters.
Riders of Justice.
I think I accidentally downloaded that movie 13 or 14 times. We've also got, it must be a sequel. It's The Water Man.
Huh. Ghost of Chernobyl.
The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. I love the first one. So glad
I don't
made
think there's enough apostrophe S's in that title. We're getting the story of an alien serial killer who's sent to Earth to live among humans as a punishment for his crimes, which you can understand, and his body is genetically transformed to look like a human, but every few hours, the body begins to revert to its original form, causing his head to explode. So he needs to acquire the parts from other bodies, and a cop tries to stop him. Ray Don Chong, Don Gordon, and Tom Towles killing it as the borrower.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Amazon has officially launched IMDb TV for iOS and Android mobile devices, meaning users can now access the platform's free, ad-supported catalog of popular TV shows and Amazon originals on the go.
A streaming platform for free? I can suffer through a few ads.
The app's addition to the two major mobile platforms following its release earlier this year on services including Roku, Xbox One, Xbox Series XS, Google TV, LG Smart, some of the PlayStation 4. It's already available on Amazon's Fire TV and is a free channel with the Prime Video app.
Its own app instead of going through other apps. Okay, fair enough.
For anyone wary of another ad-supported streaming platform, Amazon assures us there are fewer ads than there are on live TV. And although you can't skip the ads that are there, the price tag, or lack of one, ensures one of the lowest barriers to entry for streaming media of any platform in the market to date.
Well, they do have Leverage Redemption on there.
That's good enough. In addition to Amazon Studios' originals like the docuseries Luke Bryan, My Dirt Road Diary, the heist drama, Leverage Redemption, IMDb TV also hosts its own original content, including Alex Rider and Moment of Truth. It also includes popular titles like All in the Family, Mad Men, Malcolm in the Middle, The Wolf of Wall Street, and How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, don't mix those up for a family movie night.
We know another app is a pain in the butt, but when you can get new content and classic content, that's a win. It's kind of like the early days of Hulu. I suppose we'll have to come up with a new version of Netflix and chill, so I guess IMDb and Marquis Desade? No, we'll work on it. That doesn't work. We'll work on it.
While we wait for that, as well as waiting for the animated sequel to The Addams Family, The Addams Family 2, and, of course, Tim Burton's live-action series, Wednesday, we've learned that 1991's The Addams Family is making its 4K Ultra HD debut.
There's nothing like 1990s effects in 4K, buddy!
Paramount's press release announced earlier, it's time to pay a visit to everyone's favorite kooky, spooky, and altogether ooky family. Celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, The Addams Family will be released for the first time in digital 4K Ultra HD just in time for Halloween on October 19th, 2021 from Paramount Home Entertainment.
Still gonna get it.
Me too. Newly remastered and restored under the supervision of director Barry Sonnenfeld, the Addams Family will be presented in both the original theatrical version and a never-before-seen Ma Mamushka version, which expands the memorable dance number. The digital 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray disc and Blu-ray releases also include a brand new featurette, looking back at the making of the film that includes behind-the-scenes footage and a new interview with Sonnenfeld, as well as an introduction to the restored cut by Sonnenfeld in an archival featurette. It'll feature Introduction to Ma Mamushka version by director Barry Sonnenfeld, filmmaker focus Barry Sonnenfeld on the Addams Family, and archival footage.
As long as we get more footage of Raul Julia, that's all I care.
Even after 30 years, this movie still holds up as one of the kookiest, ookiest incarnations of the Addams Family. And getting that delightful scene where Wednesday smiles in 4K, all I can say is, capital idea, old boy!
Scientists have genetically engineered the critters known as Daddy Longlegs to create a mutated version with, well, short legs, in an effort to study how arachnid's genomes evolve over time and why their creepy legs grow so lengthy in the first place.
You know some kinky scientists named that spider.
The media has largely presented the work as cute, and it may well bolster our understanding of genetics, but images of the gene-hacked monstrosities are disturbing. Not that the control group with no genetic modifications is exactly adorable.
Oh, look, that's mean. They're trying their best.
The team led by Gilhelm Gennett from the University of Wisconsin-Madison first sequenced the genome of the bug, which was one of more than 6,000 known species of Daddy Longlegs called Harvestmen, which are technically close cousins of spiders. Then they used a technique called RNA interface to shut off a pair of genes associated with leg development in hundreds of embryos of the critter.
Oh, no good can come from this.
They're going to be able to run faster, right? The grisly results, six of the Harvestman's eight legs were underdeveloped and much shorter, as detailed in the paper published by the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society B. The limbs also lost their tarsomeres, which give them the ability to grasp around sticks. The genome of the Daddy Longlegs holds great potential to clarify the complex history of arachnid genome evolution and body plan, as well as to reveal how Daddy Longlegs make their unique long legs, Gannett said.
So they just wreck some genetic monstrosities for the heck of it? Why, science? Why?
Looking forward, we are interested in understanding how genes give rise to novel features of arachnids, such as spider fangs and scorpion pinchers, and also leveraging the genome to develop the first transgenic harvestman, he added. For the arachnophobic among us, let's just hope the scientists don't end up with a giant Daddy long legs the next time they decide to genetically engineer the creatures. Otherwise, we need to call in John Goodman, David Arquette, and William Shatner to save us. Eh?
So, and now, only positive news after that horrific one. Sylvester Stallone has now had a number one movie in six different decades thanks to his latest release, The Suicide Squad. Stallone made his name with the iconic Rocky film in 1976, which became the highest grossing film of that year and went on to win Best Picture at the Oscars. Rocky eventually became a franchise spanning multiple decades, and in addition to that, Stallone starred in Rambo, providing the action star with yet another franchise that's earned him box office success over multiple decades. In more recent times, Hollywood's evergreen action star has consistently reinvented himself as he has launched the Expendables franchise and has found his way into superhero projects like the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and the Suicide Squad.
I wouldn't say Expendables was reinventing himself.
In the Suicide Squad, Stallone voices Nanue, or King Shark, an incredibly deadly, yet rather humorous fish voiced by Stallone. In addition to the film earning rave reviews, with many holding out special praise for Stallone's King Shark, The Suicide Squad also topped the box office in its opening weekend with a $26.5 million total, earning him the incredible accolade.
Wait, no mention of him as a successful restaurantrepreneur? Oh, wait.
Stallone is showing no signs of slowing down, as his next superhero tale, Samaritan, where the action star plays a long-lost superhero, will release next year. Although he's seemingly done playing Rocky Balboa in Creed, he has teased a possible Rocky prequel TV series and will release his director's cut of Rocky IV this November. Plus, with more the Suicide Squad characters possibly getting spin-off TV shows, and considering how popular King Shark has been with audiences, Sly may have found a character he can return to. Though, out of all of his roles, I still think my favorite of his is as the time-traveling protector robot in Terminator 2. Okay, before we get emails sent to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, that was a reference to Last Action Hero. You're welcome.
Oh, that's the movie where the guy who killed Mozart did it.
Yeah.
Baltimore Museum of Art announced 5 new board trustees, only one of whom will have a bathroom named after him at the institution. Cultural icon and Baltimore native John Waters was named to the board alongside Michael Ealy, Newport Product Flynn, Laurie N. Johnson, and Ann L. Stone. The 5 joined a 36-member board and is tasked with overseeing the museum's governance program and in rallying support for its initiatives.
It's really fitting. It's really fitting that a bathroom is named after him. And I am 100% sure he is honored.
I am very excited to welcome the 5 new trustees whose variety of skills and experiences across the fields of art, education, entertainment, marketing, and management will assist us as we continue to find ways to better serve our community and fulfill the Baltimore Museum of Art's mission. Zamosky Siegel said in a statement, I have no doubt that this new cohort of trustees will enhance the museum's governance and leadership, and I look forward to sharing their commitment and passion for the BMA's vision with the rest of the board.
I also hope he's on the party planning committee because those are going to be effing epic.
Waters, an ardent champion of his hometown, late last year bequeathed 375 artworks and objects from his fine art collection to the museum receivable upon his death, with the stipulation the museum name its East Lobby bathrooms after him. Less shockingly, the domed room in the European Art Galleries will also be renamed the John Waters Rotunda. The museum in 2018 hosted a retrospective of his work, which spans film, writing, acting, sculpture, and photography, among other mediums. Although we at GRD feel this is long overdue, we do think that this news is divine. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works 90 States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. And make sure you see the website at geekradiodaily.com. And if you'd like to tell us all the jokes you're thinking of about how Divine really needs a John Waters bathroom, then by all means, send us a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. And if you don't understand what that means, you can ask us all about it. You know, voicemail, text message, use the numbers.
510-GRD.
And I hope they give out scratch and sniff cards.
Good night, everybody.
Peace out, player.
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
That was lame.
Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
Let me just make sure that I understand you correctly, Commander. A group of cybernetic creatures from the future have traveled back through time to enslave the human race. And you're here to stop them?
That's right.
Hot damn. You're heroic.
We're going to prove it to you. Geordi.
There she is.
Here we go.
Beautiful. All right. Take a look.
Well, well, well. What have we got here? I love a good peep show. That's a trick. How'd you do that?
It's your telescope.
That's our ship, the Enterprise.
So, what is it you want me to do?
Simple. Conduct your warp flight tomorrow morning, just as you planned.
Why tomorrow morning?
Because at 11 o'clock, an alien ship will begin passing through this solar system.
Alien, you mean extraterrestrials? More bad guys?
Good guys. They're on a survey mission. They have no interest in Earth. Too primitive.
Oh.
Tomorrow morning, when they detect the warp signature from your ship and realize that humans have discovered how to travel faster than light, they decide to alter their course, and they make first contact with Earth, right here.
And you people, you're all astronauts on some kind of Star Trek.